I'm Dream Queen. You're in the cab with me. Thanks for rolling. This is KMRD LP out of Madrid, New Mexico. And I do a book club here every Saturday that I can. This book is called The Prophet by Khalil Gibran. Some of you have been following along. Some of you are brand new. If you're brand new, welcome. You can find archives of the show at In The Cab Radio at Mixcloud.com or on YouTube. I prefer Mixcloud because you can hear all the musical selections and jam along and get the vibe, catch the vibe. It's a wave. If you're listening on YouTube, thank you so much for doing what you can. And if you want the tunes, head on over there. It's a licensing situation. So what we're going to do today is cover joy and sorrow. And I like to give people a little bit of a backstory, just catch you up real quick. Al Mustafa is a Sagittarius, a traveler and a sage who is looking off into the distance at his ship coming to return him to his homeland. He's been sequestered in Orphalese for 12 years and observing the people there and doing philosopher sage type stuff. He's on his way down to the shore and word goes through the village that he's leaving and it's harvest time and people are leaving their plowshares and their wine presses and heading on down to see him off. Almitra, the seer woman, comes out of the temple, meets everyone in the square, and asks for wisdom to be bestowed upon the people, to be shown all that which Al-Mustafa, the chosen one, has observed. Everything between life and death, she asks. And Al-Mustafa says, I can't tell you anything that you don't already know in your heart. However, I got some time to kill while I'm waiting for my rise, so sure. So the people begin to ask questions. So a woman said, speak to us of joy and sorrow. And he answered, your joy is your sorrow unmasked. And the selfsame well from which your laughter rises was oftentimes filled with your tears. And how else can it be? The deeper that sorrow carves into your being, the more joy you can contain. Is not the cup that holds your wine the very cup that was burned in the potter's oven? And is not the lute that soothes your spirit the very wood that was hollowed with knives? When you are joyous, look deep into your heart, and you shall find it is only that which has given you sorrow that is giving you joy. When you are sorrowful, look again into your heart, and you shall see that in truth, you are weeping for that which has been your delight. Some of you say, joy is greater than sorrow, and others say, nay, sorrow is the greater. But I say unto you, they are inseparable. Together they come, and when one sits alone with you at your board, remember that the other is asleep upon your bed. Verily, you are suspended like scales between your sorrow and your joy. Only when you are empty are you at standstill and balanced. When the treasure keeper lifts you to weigh his gold and his silver, needs must your joy or your sorrow rise or fall. Khalil Gibran, The Prophet, on joy and sorrow. So, let's take a minute and ponder this. As most of y'all know, I feel very intensely all the time, and I wouldn't have it any other way. And it's a lot going on in the world right now. We have new drones that have been spotted. You guys, Please, somebody call a UFO hotline. I love my lenticular cloud people. I love y'all. It's really great. Who says, though, that there can't be aliens in the lenticular clouds, okay? There's so much going on this week. They got drones and things over Trump's golf course now, all over New Jersey and New York. And they're flashing lights in the sky that nobody can identify. UAPs, the Pentagon gave another briefing yesterday. So that's happening, disrupting the vibrational field. We're still bombing the heck out of Gaza and Lebanon and Syria. And, you know, there's all of these things going on. A lot of sorrow. And then on the other side, you have people like me trying to tell you to search for your joy. And that's real talk. We're put here to do a whole lot of things. So then what happened a couple days ago, the CEO of United Healthcare shot in the back in New York on the street. And I woke up to a bunch of sorrow unmasked as joy. Your joy is your sorrow unmasked. And I couldn't really see up until really like late last night how I could tie these two conversations together. It's a lot of sorrow out here in the world right now. And we try to find joy wherever we can. And sometimes that joy is in the Schadenfreude, the misfortune of others, the retribution aspect. And I wanted to say that I have no moral high ground here. I have no judgment. We have to all get it out, especially during Sagittarius season. Sagittarius is famous for inappropriate sense of humor. It's famous for theater. And I really thought that it hurt my heart to see how much pain all of us are in. That we could take glee in a person being shot in the back on the street. I don't have any other way to put that. I'm still saying. So here we go. We talk about Martin Luther King on this show a lot and nonviolence. Violence, nonviolence. And I've been feeling a lot of ways about it. I wanted to play a clip from Nina Simone. She has a famous clip out that she says her husband had to stop her from going down to Mississippi or Alabama with a shotgun. He's like, you say you get yourself killed. You don't even know what to do with that thing, but you can't go and do this. And when she met Martin Luther King, she came out to him and just said, I just want you to know I'm not nonviolent. And he said, that's okay, sister. We all have different parts to play. That's the thing about Earth, and I say this a lot. We all have different parts to play. I'm trying to come to terms with my part. And I hope that you're on a journey to find the terms with your part. We all exist here at the same time. Everybody doesn't have the same values. Everybody doesn't want the same thing. That's also something that's very difficult about being on Earth. We're in class with a whole bunch of people with a whole lot of different objectives. And it causes joy and it causes sorrow. We take hits. We lose people along the way. We get hurt. And we have to make the choice every single day whether to give up or show up. I was talking to a buddy of mine the other night. And we were talking about New Mexico being a right to die state. You know, when you get to a certain place in a terminal illness, and you have the right to choose with your doctor. You know, you'll have to go through a whole bunch of papers, but and diagnoses and things to decide, you know, but you do get to decide. And we both started talking about being the most difficult times of our lives. For me, it was puberty. She was much more grown and going through some very, 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 very hard times. And we talked about our suicide attempts. And she was like, you know, I think people should be able to decide if they want to be here or not. Because we were talking about the future and how desolate things are getting, and if they're going to have suicide booths like on Futurama, you know. And I was like, you know, it was some dark humor time. And she was like, you know, I don't think it was fair that the doctors did that, that they intervened between my choice. Now, her life is different now. I mean, even at that time, she was what I would consider successful. But due to some things, some grief and some other things, she had a dark turn there for a little while. But she got a job, home, husband, kid, friends, her own business. And she's getting along great. She doesn't wear herself out worrying about everybody on the planet like I do. And she said, you know, that, and I said, well, aren't you glad you're here though? I'm glad you're still here. I'm glad I'm still here. I'm glad that my worst day didn't allow me to make a bad decision like that. And put the people that I love and my family through that, because I was down and having a really hard time. And we think about the future for her son. We're Black people. So, you know, she's worried. California, urban areas. Why, you know, and we question it. But I think at the end of the day, it's better that we're here. So when I listen to the testimonials of the people who talk about how they were hurt by the healthcare system, these insurance companies, I agree. It's horrible. It's more than horrible. It's infuriating. It's nauseating. It's oppressive. Everything that people are saying, all the grief from having lost loved ones. And so I just am here sharing, because I know I've been on here talking about love your enemy, protect your back, protect your front, protect your homies. And I think there's something to be said about honorable warriors. I want to throw this out here as the discourse is happening. It's just a question. Are you sure you know what you're fighting for and how to fight and what the consequences are of our actions and what we're creating as we move forward? What is our sorrow bringing? What kind of flowers? Blood flowers. I think of my ancestors and I think of the world today. And people want to tell me whether I should participate in a violent overflow. A violent overflow of love is what I got. A violent overthrow of the government. Number one, my people were bombed to death over that just 40, 50 years ago. And we had to think of a different way. And I'm talking about Native American and Black people. We did a lot of fighting. And so folks are like, well, the guy got shot. The CEO got shot in the back and murdered. And now policies are changing. Blue Cross and Blue Shield and these other people are changing. Yes, they're making some changes to some policies. They're also making some changes for their safety. I mean, they're going to make this joint like Pan Am. Okay, Hunger Games. So now they're taking the CEO's pictures off the websites. You can best believe that there's going to be some protections for people. You can best believe that this didn't make New York safer for any person on the street. Right? Watch what's about to happen on your freedom of information to be able to hold people accountable. But I digress on that. The violent overthrow of the government by the people. Results. Violence getting results. So Martin Luther King says, and Bell Hooks says, yes, you know, violence will get you immediate results, but it doesn't keep long-term results. And the way we fight wars and the ways that we everything is done in America out of retribution now. It's not done with honor. That's really what happened when I was listening with Wendy Young talking at her talk last week, and she brought back the Patriot Front. These young white men who are claiming that the United States was not stolen, it's conquered. America was conquered fair and square by the colonists, and it's over. It's not true, number one. It's never over. That's the thing about war. It's never over. Never. Because people will always want retribution. Always. I don't say justice, because justice, I think, is what we ultimately seek. But justice is about being fair. Justice is about balance. Justice is about accountability and change. Retribution is you get what's coming to you. Like revenge, like eye for an eye. And Schadenfreude is Nelson on Google. If you Google it, they got Nelson and he goes, ha ha, you got murdered. But I can't bring nobody's grandma back, or their wife, or their kid, or their body part. So I'm not here to tell anybody anything. Just this is just my point of view. We can't let our sorrow dehumanize us. We can't let our sorrow help us add more misery to the world. That's just my point of view. It's my heart. I could feel a little groove in there. The sorrow carved into my being, and I have to contain joy. And what that means is that if I don't close myself off due to the pain that I've experienced in my life, I have the capacity to hold more. And when we're talking about joy, it's not just like a happiness or a temporary good feeling. It is a state of being. It's longer, and I think some people want to encourage us to feel that for longer and longer periods of time. At the end of this poem, I was a little confused. I had a question mark at it. And then it came to me like out of nowhere. This whole part about the scales. It takes it back to the Tao and the Buddhists and the middle way. To be neither pulled left or right by joy or sorrow. To always be balanced. That's a lot of work. That's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. We have grief. We have rage. We have all of this stuff, and we're just human. You know, we're just human. don't judge each other too harshly out here. And don't turn into a barbarian. I'm not here to tell you what to do, but I'm just going to say. Think about the warrior. Think about the warrior. When we fought with honor, these patriot, that's it, the Patriot Front people, and they think they won this. They fought with no honor, the settlers. They did all the things that we're doing now. All those buffalo they killed and stacked up is to deprive people of a food source, of shelter, the disease, all of these things. There's no fair fight. And I just want us to understand that when we train our warriors, whatever you're planning on doing to save the people, just make sure that it's coming from a place of honor, or that you are prepared for the your own retribution when we become hungry for revenge. It becomes blinding. The blood gets in your eyes. And you develop a taste for it. If we don't have elders and shamans and our spiritual anchors, whatever those may be to you, to keep you grounded in virtue. Chastity is purity. And we don't want to become like them. We don't want to become like them. I'm not saying let somebody keep their boot on your neck. I rebel. But we don't want to become like them. Because then we don't know when it will stop. If we kill everyone who hurts anybody, the edge of the table for that envelope just keeps getting pushed further and further out. That's what happens. That's why it's a cycle. And we wind up abusing those that we care about because we're blinded. I'm Dream Queen. You've been in the cab with me listening to KMRD LP, Madrid, New Mexico. And we're in the book club talking about Khalil Gibran's The Prophet. I encourage you to go online and see if you can get a PDF, a free version of the book, just a click away. It's out there all over the place. KhalilGibran.com. You can learn more about him and his work. He's a social justice warrior. And he died too young, 48. Just 1 year older than I am right now. A few months older than I am right now. And he died from alcoholism. Complications from alcoholism. Sorrow. The feeling of the artist. So I just want to talk real quick before I get out of DJ Barnacle's way. I want to talk a little bit about acceptance and gratitude. When we accept, as the Buddhist first noble truth, life is suffering. The second noble truth is there is relief from the suffering. Third truth is that relief is found in the middle way, these teachings. But that first line about life is suffering, I feel like we all want to end suffering. Those of y'all that can hear me, and it's not all every person here, because obviously there are folks that inflict pain. But we get obsessed with that, whether it be for ourselves or our loved ones, and world peace. It's Christmas time. What do we want? World peace. Part of my journey is coming to accept that it's not the primary objective of Classroom Earth. My takeaway for myself just right in this moment is to accept that. And be grateful for everything that I can experience. Everything, and see every challenge as a lesson and an ability to be more grateful when I overcome these challenges. I live a pretty privileged life, even with all of my challenges. I live privileged because I have not currently had to deal with things like chronic or devastating illness. I've lost family members and friends, but I know there's people out here who've been through way more than I have. So I don't talk about this lightly. I wonder when, you know, how people can go through so many things in life and be walking around missing limbs, in these terrible states of physical being challenged, and they spend their last moments in joy and gratitude with the people that they're with. And I find that to be a beautiful thing and a challenge, I don't want to use the word challenge again, but like a dare, hey, you know, I want to get there. I want to get there to let my wounds hold my joy. When you are sorrowful, look again in your heart, and you shall see that in truth you are weeping for that which has been your delight. I have a note on that about grief and dread. And I've been one of those people in my life where I experience something good, I think, oh man, this is going to end soon. Like, it's a terribly morbid way to look at things, you know? Oh, look at what a beautiful puppy. It's too bad it's going to die, and then I'm going to have to grieve it. No thanks, I don't want a dog. You know, but that's terrible. You know, when I look at friendships and loved ones that I've lost, and I don't want to think about it because of the pain that it causes me in my heart, and I try to think about something else, why not let myself be warmed by those memories? If I accept that we're here just for a fleeting time, and none of us for the same amount of time, we don't know when the last moment is ever going to be. So let those moments that we shared be considered a blessing. And not close off my heart. When I look at even somebody who's still alive that's hurt me or that I've hurt, and I say, hey, you know, I don't want to think about that person or this thing. They're dead to me. Taurus is famous for that. We do that with our Scorpio sister sign. Who? They're dead. They're dead to me. But no. Everything that happened that was so painful, I learned so much from it. And I'm grateful for those lessons. I'm excited to be the person I'm growing into, quite frankly. And a lot of the things that I've been through, I mean, it really sucked. It was just bad at the time. But I played through that fear, and I feel really tough. And so all my people who are survivors of genocide, you still tough. Even if you didn't shoot anybody. Even if you're not trying to burn down a building, you tough. Because the objective is to kill us. That's the objective. Their objective. Our objective is to survive and outlive them. And bring back our ways. And we will. Because life is eternal. It's eternal, whether you believe it or not. And if you don't, then you die, then you don't have to play anymore. Womp womp. So then we think everybody who's been bombed to death, maybe it's better for them. I don't know. Now I'm going dark again. Transmission. DJ Barnacle's here. I'm going to put in Raphael Sadiq. And as Sly and the Family Stone, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take that turn. Come out to the Christmas parade. Listen, y'all, it's fine. Life, death, we're all eternal. I believe that. And then until next year when I get a different situation going, I'll tell you what's new. But all my people in my DNA, they know we fight, we die, we live, we give birth. And I heard, I'll just say this. I'm going to bring it back for a second. Sadhguru. Y'all ever heard of Sadhguru? Sadhguru. Was on a really good interview that I heard. And maybe I'll share that on In The Cab Radio or Instagram. See if I can share that. But the way he described reincarnation and the way the interviewer was asking these very basic questions, which I was grateful for, I found it a little bit offensive, but that's at the end of the day, I was grateful because it allowed him to break it down really simply. He's got a great sense of humor. He said, are you born in looking the same that you do right now? She's like, well, no. You know, you're born into a body and it grows and it decays. He said, when you lose 10 pounds, do you lose a part of who you are? And she said, no. And the idea is we may own something like our body, but we are not our body. We are not our consciousness. We are not the one thing that, or many things that we own here on earth, including these meat suits. So the other thing he said was this very interesting, Eastern philosophies encourage people to ask questions and not be left with absolutes. The job of the guru, by the way, is dispeller of darkness, is the way he explained the etymology of the word, dispeller of darkness, is to ask, to help the seeker hone their shovel to dig deeper. The shovel is truth, is the search to ask questions. So I leave us all with love. No judgment on you for, you know, poking fun or trying to laugh off the horror show that we live in right now. I just ask us to ask more questions and of who we are, what future we want to build, and who we want to be. Not even who you are right now, but who you aspire to be and what future we want to create, because that's the opposite. That's the counterweight, is life, is creation. All right. Fight the system. Do what you can. My job is a witness. I've just decided right now I'm a witness, and I try to seek the truth and share it with people. Okay? And I have all your back. As long as you're from freedom and truth and love. Whatever will be, will be. We are eternal. I love y'all. Stay strong. Peace and light.